Parshas Mishpatim, Baruch HaMaboyim, and a good chodesh to everybody, Mishanichas Ador, Marvin Besimcha. Somebody told me today, he's not sure whether that applies tonight, because it's not yet Ador, it's when you're a chodesh Ador, but I'd like to be Machmeh and start tonight, so Be'ez Hashem will try and share some Dvorim HaMasamchem. Every morning in davening, when we say the Birchas HaTorah, we say, V'harivno Hashem Elokeinu es divrei seyrosecha b'kfinu. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make the words of Torah sweet and pleasant, b'kfinu, in our mouth, and also u'b'fi amcho beis Yisrael, and so too in the mouth of your nation, Klal Yisrael. And I'd like to explain, perhaps an explanation. Why are we specifically mentioning U'b'fi Amcha Beis Yisrael? Very strange. Here we are davening our own personal Birkas HaTorah, which is a Birkas HaMitzvot, and for some reason I'm pointing out and I'm making mention not only of my own personal needs, but also U'b'fi Amcha Beis Yisrael. Now it's true. All of our tefillos are all b'loshon rabbim. We say in davening, Refo'einu, and Borech Oleinu, and Shema Koleinu. It's true, we always daven for others, but even over here, we have already said, Bafinu, in our mouth. So we've already mentioned b'loshon rabbim, and yet there is still a specific mention of Bafi Amcha Beis Yisrael. It would seem to be that when we daven, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to grant us pleasantness, we should enjoy Limud Torah, we are making a specific request, not only on behalf of ourselves, but also on behalf of Amcha Beis Yisrael. And this, I think, needs a bit of an explanation. So we turn to this week's parasha and we read one of the most famous psukim, perhaps B'chol HaTorah Kulo, when Klal Yisrael say, Naseh V'Nishma. Nata Venishma. Now I'd like to share with you two beautiful chidushim of the Beis HaLevi. And we'll see what happens, Be'ezus Hashem, when you merge these two chidushim. The Beis HaLevi quotes the famous Gemara in Shabbos. And the Gemara says, V'shar shehikdimu Yisrael Nata Venishma. When Klal Yisrael said Naseh V'Nishma, they were maktim, they first said Naseh, and then only after that did they say Nishma. Malachi Ashoreth descended from heaven, and he gave Klal Yisrael two crowns, Shnei Kesorim, two crowns, one Keneged Naseh, and one Keneged Nishma. So we would understand, at the surface, they said two words, Naseh V'Nishma, so two words equals two crowns. Very simple mathematics. But the Gemara does not merely say that because they said the words Naseh V'Nishma, they get two crowns. It doesn't say that. It says, B'Shah Shehikdimu, with the implication being that the reason why they received two crowns is not just because they said two words, but because they specifically were maktim. They first mentioned Naseh, and only after that, Nishma. With the obvious implication being, had they switched the order, had they said Nishma V'Naseh, even though that's also two words, it sounds like then they wouldn't have got two crowns, they only would have got one. The Gemara is clearly telling us the reason why they got two crowns is because they mentioned Naseh first. Shehikdimu Naseh V'Nishma. Why should that be? So the Beis HaLevi points out and he explains as follows. What exactly was happening? So if you could just please be muted. What exactly was being stated when Klal Yisrael said Naseh V'Nishma? So we traditionally understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu was offering them the Torah to keep all the mitzvahs, and they accepted upon themselves to keep the mitzvahs. But in actuality, the Zohar tells us, as quoted by the Beit Arishi, that they were mekabel on themselves not only mitzvahs, but also limud Torah. The specific mitzvah of limud Torah. So now let's stop for a moment. We all understand that in order to perform any mitzvah, obviously we first need to learn Torah to know what to do. There's not much point in being mekabel to put on tefillin or shake a lulav if we don't know how you put on tefillin or how you shake a lulav. So by definition, if you are mekabel mitzvahs, you are automatically mekabel on yourself also to learn Torah. But that form of limud Torah is merely a vehicle. It's just a means to an end. I need to learn Torah in order to know what to do. So it's not learning Torah for the sake of learning Torah. It's learning Torah for the sake of being mekayim the mitzvahs. And the truth is, even noshim, women who are not essentially mechuyev in the mitzvah of limud Torah, they also, however, need to learn Torah in order to be mekayim the mitzvahs that they are obligated with. And that's why they say the Birkas HaTorah as well. But as we well know, there is an altogether different angle, completely, to limud Torah. And that is, limud Torah is not merely a means to an end. It is not just a vehicle, I must learn Torah because otherwise I won't know how to keep the mitzvahs. But rather, limud Torah is an end in itself. One learns Torah for the sake of learning Torah. So it turns out, therefore, there are two distinct, different aspects of limud Torah. Firstly, as a vehicle, as a medium, as a means to an end in order to be mekayim the mitzvahs, number one. And number two, as an end in itself, to learn Torah purely for the sake of mitzvahs limud Torah. Imagine for a moment if Klal Yisrael would have said, Shma v'naaseh. Remember, the Zohar told us they will mekabel both Torah and mitzvahs. Mitzvah is obviously the word v'naaseh, and we shall do. Nishma means, and we will study Torah. If they would have said nishma v'naaseh, what would that have meant? We will learn and we will do mitzvahs. So which type of learning Torah is that? That is merely learning Torah for the purpose of keeping the mitzvahs. It would merely have been a means to an end. Once they switched the order and they said, not nishma v'naaseh. They in fact said, naaseh v'nishma. Oh, now there's an altogether different understanding. When they said that first word, naaseh, how is that to be translated? Naaseh means we will perform the mitzvahs, and obviously we will learn Torah in order to know how to perform the mitzvahs. That's part one. Then they moved on and they said, the nishma, that's a separate Kabbalah of limud Torah. Not as a medium to an end, but rather as an end in itself. Says the Beis Halevi, most magnificent interpretation, therefore, it is not the fact that they said two words that they merited two crowns. It is the specific order of naaseh following which they then said nishma. And they said nishma first, then basically that's just one large kabbalah. We will do the mitzvahs, and in order to do so, we will learn Torah, because otherwise, how would we know how to be mekayim the mitzvahs? That's merely one kabbalah that merits one crown. But when they said, naaseh, we will perform the mitzvahs, part one, then also the nishma, we will learn Torah, at that point, Limud Torah became a brand new Kabbalah, and the Isaiah 12 were fully deserving of the second crown, says the Beis Halevi. That's in fact why they are Zeicher to two crowns. So the Beis Halevi is teaching us a tremendously important yesod. Torah is not merely to be viewed upon, Limud Torah, as a means to an end. It is not a vehicle. It is not what we would call halachically a hechsher mitzvah. We all know that in order to shake a lulav, you have to buy a lulav. But the buying of the lulav is not the mitzvah. It's a means to an end. You cannot fit in the sukkah if you do not build a sukkah. But the building of the sukkah is not the mitzvah. It's the hechsher mitzvah. So we must stop and ask ourselves, what is our attitude to the mitzvah of Limud Torah? Is it merely like buying a lulav and building a sukkah where it just becomes a hechatimta, a medium in order to be mekayem the mitzvahs, or is it an end in itself? Says the Beis Halevi, a most magnificent interpretation of the very famous Gemara. The Gemara says that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Why? Because they did not make a bracha over Torah. They did not make a bracha over Torah. Doesn't say they didn't learn Torah. They did. But they didn't make the prior bracha to Torah. Why is that so serious? Says the Beis Halevi. We make a bracha on shaking a lulav, but we do not make a bracha on buying a lulav. Because you do not make a bracha on a heksha mitzvah. And if they did not make a bracha over Torah, what do they clearly demonstrate? They show that they view learning Torah just as buying a lulav, building a sukkah. It's just a stepping stone to know what to do. It's a medium, it's a vehicle to get you to your final destination, but it's not a mitzvah in itself. They did not therefore make a bracha. And if they didn't make a bracha, they clearly illustrated a tremendous zildul ha-Torah. But the Torah is just basically some sort of instruction pamphlet. It's just a heksha mitzvah, but it's not the mitzvah itself. And moreover, the Gemara there continues and says, how come you tragically see on occasion that Talmidei Chachamim, their own children, are in fact not Talmidei Chachamim? And the Gemara says once again, Shelei Baruchu Batoiro Chilos. Why is one contingent on the other? Says the Beis Halevi, it's very simple. When you have the mitzvah, for example, of sitting in the sukkah, you have to do that mitzvah yourself. Who builds the sukkah, it doesn't really make a difference. It could be you, it could be your children, it could be your neighbor, it doesn't really make a difference. I need to shake the lulav, but who buys the lulav, it doesn't really make a difference to me. If you are not mevorech b'Torah tchilah, and Torah just becomes a vehicle, it becomes an instruction book, then it makes no difference to you, as far as you're concerned, who learns the Torah. As long as at the end of the day I know what to do. If Torah becomes an end in itself, then that Torah remains with me and with my children as well. If it is merely an instruction leaflet, then it makes no difference. I've got no need to learn. Nor do my children. Let somebody else learn and he'll tell me what to do. It's only a medium, it's just a vehicle. But if you view Torah correctly, it is not merely a medium, but rather it is a mitzvah in its own right, and it is choshuv, and it is choviv, then that will be something that remains with me and also my children. This is the first chidush of the Beis Halevi, and that is that when they were makabel Torah and mitzvahs, when they said Na'aseh v'nishma, it was two independent kabbalists. It was not merely being the kabbal to fulfill the mitzvahs, but it was also a specific kabbalah of limud Torah, a Kabbalah of Limud Torah, and as the Beis Halevi explained, what type of Limud Torah? Not the Limud Torah, which is just a stepping stone to know what to do, but rather the Limud Torah, the specific mitzvah of learning Torah for the sake of learning Torah. A tremendous chiddush. We are not perhaps accustomed to thinking this way. We are normally accustomed to thinking that Nasa the Nishma was all about keeping the Torah and mitzvahs. No, said the Beis HaLevi, it was not just that. It was also a Kabbalah of mitzvahs, but it was also a Kabbalah of Limud Torah. This is the first chiddush of the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi then teaches us a second chiddush. And as mentioned, let's see what happens when you merge the two chiddushim. The Beis HaLevi quotes a medrash. The medrash says that when Klal Yisrael said Na'ase V'Nishma, then a malach came, this is a different medrash, and gave every member of Klal Yisrael an atara, which is a crown over his head, and also Choyger Loi Zainoi, he armed him, he gave him a weapon. What was the crown and what was the weapon? Says the Beis HaLevi, a tremendous chiddush. Says the Beis HaLevi, have you ever stopped to think to yourself, why did Klal Yisrael say Na'ase V'Nishma? That nun, Na'ase V'Nishma, means that we are accepting on ourselves the Torah and the mitzvahs. Why did each individual not talk on behalf of himself? And they should have said, every individual, E'ese V'Eshma, I will do and I will listen. Why the Loshen Rabbim of Na'ase V'Nishma? Says the Beis HaLevi, yet another tremendous chiddush, and this is a huge insight into understanding what actually happened at Matan Torah. Says the Beis HaLevi, every individual member of Klal Yisrael was indeed Mekabel Torah on himself, and also undertook responsibility for the ruchnius, Torah, and mitzvahs of others as well. An enormous chiddush. This did not merely mean that 600,000 people said, I will take achrayas for myself, e'ese v'eshma, na'ase v'nishma. We, collectively, besides for my own personal responsibility, I'm undertaking responsibility that all of Klal Yisrael will keep the mitzvahs as well. And of course, we know that halachically this has enormous ramification. Kol Yisrael arevim zeh lo zeh, the principle of arevus, I can be mitzi you with a mitzvah even though I myself have already fulfilled that mitzvah. Why is that? Because I am responsible for your mitzvah as well. Why on earth am I responsible for your mitzvah? The answer is, because that is what I was mekabel at Matan Torah. Had I only said, e'ese v'eshma, that would have been personal responsibility. Na'ase v'nishma was collective responsibility. That is the Beis HaLevi, that's the crown, and that's the weapon. The crown is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu adorned us with when we were mekabel Torah on ourselves to be mekayim the mitzvahs. In order to ensure that others are mekayim mitzvahs as well, on occasion that would need force. I would have to persuade and convince somebody else to be mekayim mitzvahs. That was the klei zayin. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu armed us. Why did he arm us? In order to ensure that we fulfill our total Kabbalah, which was not merely personal responsibility, but also the responsibility for others to Makayim, Torah, or Mitzvahs as well. And I once saw several years ago that the Gera Rebbe, the Beit Yisrael, once explained But if you look in Parashat Kisito, after the Chet HaEgel, and it says that Shevet Levi went around searching out who committed an Avera, it says, Simu Ish Chal Boy Al Yerechoi. Everyone should be equipped with a sword. Says the Beis HaYisrael, in accordance with his Beis HaLevi, that's the sword that we're talking about. If somebody in Klal Yisrael serves the Egel, that's my responsibility as well. Not to say it has nothing to do with me, it has everything to do with me. Because I was issued a sword at Matan Torah. Why so? Because I said, Na'aseh v'nishmah. And if I said, Na'aseh v'nishmah, I accepted on myself collective responsibility. That was the sword that Levi, Shevet Levi, then went around ensuring and enforcing that none of Klal Yisrael would serve the angel. And this, of course, helps us understand in a new vein why a prerequisite for Matan Torah was maybe the most famous Rashi, B'chol HaTorah Kula. We all remember from last week's parashah in Parashat Yisro, when it says that Klal Yisrael encamped round the mountain, Vayichan, in the singular. And Rashi says those famous words, Ke'ish Echod, Belev Echod, as one man with one heart. Why was Achdus in Klal Yisrael such a vital component, a prerequisite before Matan Torah? And the way that the Beis HaLevi has explained it to us, we understand. Because you cannot be makabel on yourself collective responsibility until you indeed have reached that madrega of ki'ish echon, belev echon. If Klal Yisrael are not a nation, they are just a group of separate individuals, how on earth can I be makabel on myself responsibility for somebody else who has nothing to do with me? And the answer is, he has everything to do with me. Ke'ish echod, belev echod. Vo'ohavto le'reacha komoicho, ze klal gogoil b'teiro. You know, there's a famous question. Why was the Torah not given to all the Marishan? Why was it not given to Avram or Yitzhak or Yaakov? And the simple answer is, Rabbi Yisai, because there was no klal Yisrael. The Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. They accepted Torah as the Am. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to be the Mamlechet Kohanim, the Goy Kodosh, they had to be that Goy, they had to be that homogenous nation, Ke'ish Echod B'Lev Echod. Because otherwise, you cannot have a Na'aseh V'nishmah. So when all the Marishrei, and Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov were around, but there was no nation of Klal Yisrael, there could not be a Matan Torah. Why not? Because there could not be a Kabbalah Torah of Na'aseh V'nishmah. When Klal Yisrael were taken out of Mitzrayim, Goy Mikerev Goy, the birth of a nation, Klal Yisrael become a nation, a unified nation, Ki'ish Echod Belev Echod, then finally, then and only then, can you have a Na'aseh V'nishmah. If Kabbalah HaTorah would be all about E'eseh V'eshmah, on an individual basis, then indeed all the Marishan could have been Makabal HaTorah. So could Noach, so could the Obas HaKadoshim. But that was not what Matan Torah was all about. Matan Torah was all about a collective Kabbalah of Na'aseh V'nishmah. Klal Yisrael had to therefore be Ba'achus. And I think we therefore understand also the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, who were Lo'inoahu Kavod Ve'Zeh, they did not display this Achus and they died. Why did they die? Because this is what they were involved with in the days leading up to Shavuos. The prerequisite for Shavuos, the Tanai that can bring you to Shavuos, has to be Ki'ish Echod B'Lev Echod. Lo'inoahu Kavod Ve'Zeh is antithetical to the whole Yom Tov of Shavuos. And that's why Rabbi Yisai, in 2 weeks, Be'ezrat Hashem, We have Purim now very much on the horizon. Purim is also, of course, the Chag of Matan Torah. Kimu v'kiblu, there was once again a Kabbalah HaTorah, and that's why Purim is also the Yom Tov of Achdus. Leich k'nois es kol ha-Yehudim, all the mitzvahs of Suda, Mishpacha, Mishpacha, Matanois le'evyoinim, Mishloyach monois ish le're'ehu, it's all about Achdus. Because you cannot have a Kabbalah HaTorah without Achdus. You cannot have a Naaseh v'nishma without a Ke'ish Echod b'Leiv Echod. So these are the two Chidushim of the Beis HaLevi. Chidush number one is that Kabbalah HaTorah was not merely about mitzvahs, it was also about Limud Torah. Chidush number two is the Kabbalah HaTorah was not just an individual Kabbalah, it was a collective Kabbalah. If you merge the two Chidushim together, I think you will agree that you arrive at the inescapable conclusion that at Matan Torah, when the Beis HaLevi said there was a collective Kabbalah, not only will I be Mekayim Mitzvahs, but I will ensure that everybody else does as well. Their Kiyum HaMitzvahs becomes my responsibility. But if the Beis HaLevi told us that part of Kabbalah HaTorah was also pertaining specifically to Limud Torah, then it means that I was Mekabalah myself at Matan Torah to perform mitzvahs and also to learn Torah for myself and also collectively. Such that the rest of Klal Yisrael's performance of mitzvahs and the rest of Klal Yisrael's Limud Torah is very much my responsibility. That is the amalgamation of the two chidushim of the Beis HaLevi. If the Beis HaLevi tells me that Naaseh v'Nishma was all about collective responsibility, and he also told me that Kabbalah HaTorah was all about Limud Torah, then one and one equals two. I was Mekabalah myself at Matan Torah to learn Torah, but so too I was Mekabalah myself to ensure that others learn Torah as well. That is part and parcel of Kabbalah HaTorah. Everybody else's Kiyum HaMitzvahs, but also everybody else's Limud HaTorah becomes my responsibility. That was all incorporated in the Naaseh v'Nishma. And if that's the case, I think we have answered the question that we began with. We began with the question in the Birkas HaTorah when we say, we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'harev no, who, as divrei seirosecho, b'finu in our mouths, but also b'fi amcha beis Yisrael. And we ask, why am I davening that the Torah should be sweet in the mouths of the rest of Klal Yisrael? Why is that my concern? According to the two chidushim of the Beis HaLevi, it is absolutely my concern. Because it is the fi amcha beis Yisrael. We are an am. We were makabel Torah, not as a group of separate individuals, but we were makabel Torah as an am, as an ish echod, b'leiv echod, as a klal Yisrael, such that others limud Torah is part and parcel of my responsibility. And therefore, I must daven. When davening for Hatzlacha in Limud Torah, I cannot separate the two. And I must say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I implore of you to make the Torah sweet for me, but also for the Fi Amcha Beis Yisrael. That was part of my Kabbalah. When I said Naaseh v'Nishma, and I accepted collective responsibility, but collective responsibility for what? Not just for mitzvahs, but also for Limud Torah. As the Beis HaLevi explained, not limit Torah as a vehicle, as a medium to an end, but rather as an end in its own right. Other people's limud Torah is my responsibility. And that is what we are davening for every single day of our lives, without exception. The Torah should be sweet, the fino in my mouth, and also the fi amcha beis Yisrael, in the mouths of the rest of the nation in Klal Yisrael. Their limud Torah is very much my concern. It's my responsibility that was included in Ma'aseh Benishma. And therefore, in an age in which, tragically, there are thousands, if not millions, of Achenu Beis Yisrael who are not being Mekayim Mitzvahs, and who are certainly not being Loimed Torah, then we have to be aware that their lack of Limud Torah is our responsibility. And if we do not have the wherewithal to be Mekayim of them, Lo Avinu L'Shem B'Shamayim, to be Makari of them to a life of Torah or mitzvahs, the least we can do and the least we must do is daven for them. Such that every single day of our lives, when we are davening that Torah should be sweet, b'finu b'fiyamcha beis Yisrael, we must have in mind that indeed we are the ambassadors on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's nation. And we are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make Torah sweet, not only in our mouths, but also in the mouths of thousands, tens of thousands of Achenu Beis Yisrael who have never experienced the sweetness of Limud Torah. That is part of my responsibility. When I stood at Har Sinai and I said, Na'aseh V'Nishma, I very much accepted upon myself to ensure that everybody in Klal Yisrael is learning Torah. Be'ezus Hashem, when we say this tefillah and we have Achenu Beis Yisrael in mind, that in this Hashem we will indeed see a fulfillment. V'ni anachnu v'tzeyaseinu v'tzeyitzorei amcha Beis Yisrael kulonu yoydei shemecha v'loyndei seyrosecha v'yishmo. I wish everybody a good Shabbos and a good Chodesh.